Loving God, let us hear your word and take it into our hearts. Be with us as we understand what you have told us. Amen. So here we are this morning, enjoying an extra hour of sunlight, getting to sleep in a little bit, unless you're like my house where the dog didn't know she got an extra hour and got me up at 4:30 to eat. So, and once again, we're hearing the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector who climbed a tree to get a good look at Jesus. This story is so well known that preachers sometimes really have to look at have a hard time figuring out a good way to get something new out of it. In fact, I once heard a sermon based entirely on the line, he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. The pastor was concerned about who was short in stature. Was it Jesus or was it Zacchaeus? So we never did get an answer to that. But it doesn't matter who was short in stature. Although the pastor was trying to say, if it was Jesus, that overturns all of our visions of the Son of God. I don't think so. Luke was trying to tell us, focus on something else, salvation. Something imperishable, but available to all of us. So some people think salvation means we're going straight to heaven when we die. I've been saved and by golly, the angels are coming to get me. Well, that's part of it. But Jesus talks about salvation, about searching for the lost and bringing them into community. Salvation comes from the same root as the word salve, to be healed. We may not be cured, but we can be healed. Definitely healed of our shame, our pain, our sins, and our failures. And for some people, it takes a lifetime. Some people have that mountaintop experience and they're healed instantly. And others, it's a little bit of awareness every day, which is what we pray for. God, open my eyes to where I can be of service. Open my eyes to what I have done that doesn't live up to your expectation. So Zacchaeus, his name means the pure, the righteous, didn't live up to his name. He was a tax collector, someone we would call a toady, someone sent to do the dirty work, to kiss up and kick down, as they say. He collected the taxes and a little bit more for his efforts. A tax collector in those days and time was a cheat by definition, and you probably didn't want to get to know him because he'd take advantage of you. Yet, here he heard that Jesus was on his way to Jericho, coming to town, and he wanted to see him, so he climbed a tree. Now, the commentators I read said, you know, if it was a tree big enough to climb, it was probably on the outskirts of town. You wouldn't have that in the town because the streets are so narrow that, you know, you wouldn't be able to pass through. So that was outside. So he ran out of town to climb up there to see him. Now, we don't know his motives. Maybe he thought Jesus really was the Son of God, a miracle worker, a healer, a wandering rabbi. But whatever it was about Jesus that drew him to that place, he quit counting his gold and ran out there to see. To see what? The face of God? The face of hope? Maybe Zacchaeus was a member of the paparazzi of his time. We don't know what motivated him. But we do know what motivated Jesus. He said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your home today, your house. Now, it's unlikely that Zacchaeus had many visitors. He doesn't sound like the kind of guy you want to hang out with, right? I mean, who wants to hang around with a despised tax collector? And there's no mention of a wife who'd be running around getting things ready for an unexpected guest. But of course, women were extraneous, so it wouldn't be expected that his personal life was blabbed about. It was bad enough that he was known for his public acts. And so Zacchaeus said, you know, he admitted he was a sinner. He said, look, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. That's classic 12 steps for those who have ever been involved. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all those defects of character. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all and made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So people are looking at Zacchaeus and grumbling. He's a sinner. Jesus is going to the house of a sinner. You know, and today it's easy to say, oh, we're all sinners and excuse any kind of behavior. But we are all sinners in need of grace. And Zacchaeus had caused real distress to his community. He enriched himself at their expense, and they weren't thrilled to see him singled out for special treatment by Jesus, of all people, even if Zacchaeus remembered them in his amends. And you know, when he said, if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much, you know his neighbors are going to line up and say, you defrauded me. I want my four times. In today's litigious society, we would caution Zacchaeus to keep his mouth shut. If he wants to make amends, do it quietly. Don't let Susie know what Johnny got. But here's the thing about being saved, and here's the thing about being called out by Jesus. You don't care what people are going to say. You're healed, restored to community, and restored to a new life. For Zacchaeus, his risk in climbing that tree had paid off in ways he never dreamed possible. And that's the way Jesus heals us. We ask for one thing, and we get something else many times. Something we never dreamed of, something we never thought we needed, and yet it is more valuable than the little thing we had requested. So I can tell you that working in hospice now, people are looking for reconciliation and understanding at the end of their lives. But sometimes it's too late, at least in this world. The son who didn't visit his mother when his mom was dying cries copiously at her bedside and at the funeral. But there's no way to make up the fact he wasn't there when he was needed. Children fight over the inheritance because the parents didn't write up a will or draw up a trust, or they were too poor to do anything but pay the rent on an apartment the family now cannot afford. Time runs out. We don't have forever to make amends to those we have harmed. Zacchaeus ran to the edge of town to meet somebody who would change his life and bring him into good standing. Zacchaeus seized the moment. He acted immediately. It would be easy to say that, oh, he was so heavily burdened by his guilt and duplicity, but we don't have any indication of that. What we do see is a man ready for a new life, a life of honesty and sunlight. One of the things I see when I'm in hospice is how families use that terrible time, that time of sorrow, to hurt one another even more than when the parents were alive. And we can see that in our own families. I know my uncle, when he died, he wrote his will leaving some furniture to one of his sisters. And the furniture was at his daughter's home where she was using it because she just had her second child. And my aunt and her husband went out and got a truck to go get the furniture. Not that they needed it, because now it's stored in the spare room, but because it was theirs and given to them by the will. So this is what the prophet's saying. The law becomes slack and justice never prevails. That's the world we live in. But we can make things right by admitting our part in the failure to communicate and our willingness to engage in self-serving behaviors. You know, it's amazing to see how we can turn and twist for selfish reasons and have such a hard time coming to terms with our own limitation. I know of one family going to court because the parents had asked their single daughter to come take care of them. And the daughter who didn't do anything now wants the back rent for the daughter who stayed there to care for her parents till they died. She feels like she owes them more than what was left. So will salvation come to that house? Will the feuding family members recognize that their battle really isn't over the dollar, but over who they think mom and dad love more? It's kind of why the neighbors were all pointing at Zacchaeus and Jesus, saying, "Jesus is going to the house of a sinner. How can he like them more than me? How can he be more willing to go and share, break bread with somebody who doesn't deserve it?" And Zacchaeus was willing to throw that all out, to accept his place as a son of Abraham. Jesus knew he had done bad things, but Zacchaeus was willing to admit it, to take steps to erase the past and start on a new road, the action of a man who saw a vision of a better world. So after all, we look at our first reading from the prophet Habakkuk and we say, "Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble?" Don't you feel that way when you read the headlines? Pick up your smartphone and get the latest news. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contentions arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. So that is the way of the world. We grow up in that and we can participate in it. But then we're like Zacchaeus, looking to be restored to health, to compassion, to mercy, to be part of the human family. The prophet said there's still a vision for the appointed time. We should not lose track of that. And Zacchaeus sees that vision. Because Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." So when we feel that we are lost, when we're at the end of our rope, when everything seems to be violence and destruction, and there is no good thing, we remember that Jesus has come to save us, to help us to heal, to remember we are part of the human community, to remember we're a part of this church family, to remember that we are more than our selfishness and our greed and our hunger for recognition and status and place. Are we willing to run out, climb a tree, look for a short man, ask for forgiveness, make amends, try to make things right? That's what Jesus is saying. God seeks us still, and God brings us salvation, healing, and restoration. And may it ever be so. Amen.